from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. Needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as the law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too
late. Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here. Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on The Shooting Coach. The wonders might be prayers of fear. All right, here we are, and welcome to The Shooting Bench. It is the 25th of March, and it's a Wednesday, and by golly, some of my Boy Scouts didn't show up tonight in time, so I managed to get here early enough to keep from sliding in, running into the house, and busting the door down, and being out of breath when I got to the in front of the mic here, so that's a good thing. I've worked out a deal with them. I'm going to start doing my Scout thing a little earlier, so on Wednesday night, so that I can be here on time. I don't want to jeopardize either one of the programs, either the show or the Scout, so I've come up with a plan. We'll see how it works out. Anyway, we have want to remind everyone of a couple of things. We've got our Battlefield Medic class coming up 24th and 25th of April, and it's only about half full right now, so we've still got plenty of room. We've got a Counter-Strike class coming up on the, I believe it's the 18th. You can go to the shootingbench.us and click on the schedule of events there and get all of this. And one of our most important deals we have coming up, and I can't wait for this class, and that's the one coming up in Yakima, Washington on the 26th, 27th, and 28th of June. That'll be the weekend immediately following the Arms Expo that they're having up there. And I am just wishing I could. I always gripe because time goes too fast, but I wouldn't mind seeing the next 3 months speeded up just a little bit. I'm really looking forward to that class up there. And it's about, it's right at half full right now. We've still got a few certificates left on that one, or coupon codes, I mean. So if you go to the shootingbench.us, and go to the store there and look Yakima Personal Defense Handgun 3. And there's a coupon code you can put on there to get you $100 off on that class. Now, this class is pretty reasonably priced, considering I'm bringing it to you. And you don't have to come to Arizona to do it. So, anyway. All right, let me check in here in my chat room and see what's going on. The let's see here. Doc, that would be great. Yeah, if we could get some. You know, we tried to get some. We went down to Liberal headquarters down here in Flagstaff and in Sholo, and tried to get some volunteers to get some realistic gunshot wound for the Battlefield Medic class. And wouldn't you know, a bunch of sissies. They all declined. So we're gonna have to do it with pork shoulders and stuff like we normally do. Hate that. But let me see who all's in here tonight. Got a bunch of the regular crowd. Not a sheep. Don't see her in there very often. Glad you made it. Sport Horizon. You're getting to be a regular fixture. Ziva. Got 45. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've got several anonymous here. So I'm glad you all could make it in here tonight. What I changed my Peanut Rider. Yes, there'll be a little bit of disarming stuff in there. Not a whole lot, but there will be a couple of techniques in that third level class. I'm going to throw away what we had planned to do tonight. Something has come up on Facebook that has been, I think it's of greater importance, and that is OPSEC, Operational Security. And we're looking at this from a civilian standpoint, from a militia standpoint. Just like several other things and not just militia either. I mean, this could go on with your everyday life. If you are nothing, if you don't go to any clubs, any events, any organizations, any anything, there's still a need for operational security. And I'll tell you why in a few minutes. But everything is not the same in Not a sheep. I'm sorry I'm keeping you up there. I'm glad you could stay in here for a little while with us anyway. Everything is not the same in anything civilian that you do as it is in the military. And that goes with, I mean, a lot of things. We learn a lot from the military. I think the military could learn a lot from some civilian, and of course they have over the years, civilian organizations. But everything from convoys, the type of gear we carry, you know, weapons, basically the same as far as individual weapons. But, you know, there's still quite a few other things as far as penalties, rules, policies, laws, disciplinary measures, things like that, that are just, and the equipment that we use itself, quite a bit different than civilian things or militia. When I talk about civilians for the purposes of tonight, for the most part, I'm going to be talking about militia. There'll be a few things. Actually, there are several things that'll bleed over into your civilian life, regardless of whether you're militia or not. So, there's yeah, Peanut Rider. I guess he told you. We got somebody called 45, new guy in the chat room there. Said hi, 45, or Peanut Rider said hi, 45, 1911 person, I hope. And 45 set him straight. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. 45, you're always welcome. I'll tell you what. BB Burner, what does make difference does it make if everybody's from Washington? Did I miss something here? I'm not sure what you're talking about here. But we do. Now, Washington has pretty well taken over our chat room. We've got... I think some of those anonymous are that 45 maybe. We've got B2 Basic, Tampico Scout. I saw Long Slide up in there. Yakima Glock is with us. Ziva is with us. We've got a passel of 45 folks in there tonight. That's good. I mean, 45 folks. Washington folks. All right. Let's get into this OPSEC thing a little bit. Operational security. This is the degree of security. Remember, I'm pulling this all out of thin air here because I had not planned on. I don't have any of my notes. I don't have anything. We're pulling all this out of my other end here, just as fast as I can. So bear with me here a little bit. Operational security is the means of communication and the things that you do, things that you say, actions that you take, where you are trying to keep at a very, very low profile your activities. You're not trying to, you're going out of your way to not put information out there that people don't need. What it boils down to is three words. And these three words should be the whole show. I should just sign off after this. But it's kind of like the firearm safety rules. When I say treat all weapons as if they were loaded, people still don't get it. You have to go into long, drawn-out, excruciatingly painful discussions to try to get people to understand it. There's three words that we should be able to close the show with right now, and that is need to know, period. And that goes for everything in your life. If you're trying to run a business and trying to market something and get the word out, then yeah, you want everybody to know. You want to share it everywhere, and you want other people to share it. You want to drop, and I've done this. I've gone and taken little leaflets and put them in certain places in Walmart and places where I've just dropped them off where people could find them, put them in the parking lots, put them under windshields of cars, put them in the newspaper. I used to have the Papa John's pizza place up there let me put a flyer on their front of their, on their outside of their pizza boxes, for free. They didn't charge me anything. I just brought the flyers in. They taped them on each and every pizza box that went out there for a few days before a class or something was going on. So I wanted everybody to know. In our activities here as far as militia goes, and my personal life and my kids' personal life and everything else, everything is based around need to know. Now, do you understand what I'm saying, what those three words are? It means that if you don't need to know, it's none of your business. It's not that we don't trust you. It's not that we don't like you. It's not that we think you're going to go and tell anybody anything. It's just a simple fact that you don't need to know. Period. End of discussion. Good night. I'll see you all tomorrow. No, I can't go that quick. You know, we got more to talk about. But if you keep that in mind, that one thing, everything you do is need to know. Unless you're trying to get the word out to other people. So that means that even my wife, as much as I love her and as much as I trust her and everything else, when we have activities out there that's none of her business, it's none of her business. She does not have a need to know just because she's my wife. And neither does yours. All she needs to know generally is maybe a general direction that I went, general area I might be, and a way to get a hold of me. And there has been a couple of instances where she doesn't even have a way to get a hold of me. And those are rare, but it is possible. Now, understand very well that I love my wife more than life itself. But that doesn't change the fact that she does not have a need to know. If there is I can't stress that enough. I push that, and people say, well, yeah, I let so-and-so know. No, you don't. You don't let anybody know, period. So, anyway, your spouse, your mother, your best friend, your twin brother, sister, doesn't be boss, pastor, doesn't make any difference. If they don't have a bona fide, verifiable, documented need to know, then they don't need to know. It's just that simple. long slide. We'll get into that here in just a minute. I see your comment there. We'll talk about that here in a minute. So let's look at... let me cruise down here and check my chat room out here. And just so you all know, I'm drinking water tonight. Thank you very much. Not Dr. Pepper. Yeah, be too basic. That's something needs done every once in a while. But okay, we covered the need to know thing. Let's take this. I'm not taking these in any particular order. Like I said, I'm just pulling them out of midair right now. But the next thing is, and this came up on the discussion in Facebook tonight, and that was using Facebook for the means to get the word out to your group or whatever. And there was a guy there that insisted in the beginning, and I may have changed his mind, I'm not sure, but insisted in the beginning, well, it's okay, the media and other people, they have a First Amendment right to come out and check this out and be a part of it. And I said, no, they damn sure do not have a First Amendment right. The First Amendment right, all the amendments, all constitutional rights are to protect you from the government, not from me, not from each other. You have no constitutional right to come and see what I'm doing. However, public land, we can't keep them off public land. They do have a constitutional right to get out there. So, you know, we can't keep them from it. So if you want to keep them from it, they have to not know where you're going. What does it hurt if they know where you're going? Let me tell you what it hurts. When I very first got started in the militia movement back in 98, it was sometime during the year, mid-year probably of 99, that a reporter from the London Telegraph sought me out, come to my place. And I thought it was kind of a neat deal. You know, I was still kind of fairly trusting of people that hadn't proved otherwise. And I said, yeah, I'd be okay. You come out and check it out. And we talked about our preparations for Y2K and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, we didn't think was going to be much of an event. We didn't do a whole lot other than what we were already doing. But we talked about the militia movement. And everything that I said, now, he quoted me properly, but it's the words that they put in between my words, their talk in there, their text that they put in between my comments made it look like I was, quite the warmonger there. And it made the whole thing seem like it wasn't even me. I was just astonished at what they put on. I could not believe it. You got to be kidding me, really? Who would do that? And why? What have I done to you? I'm new in the movement. I haven't had a chance to hurt anybody yet or offend anybody. Give me some time. I'll get to all of you as quick as I can. But when you look at there, we're getting a few new names in there. So I think we had a training deal. Actually, it wasn't even a training thing. It was a fundraiser. And this fundraiser we put on with the Reserve Sheriff's Department of McKinley County, New Mexico. And that we wanted everybody to come to. There was hardly any way for them to turn that around very much. There was kind of an uneasy alliance there in the beginning when we started this shooting and stuff. But as it turned out, you know, we just all got along famously. It worked out fine. We just did some shooting. It was a turkey shoot. And we didn't talk about militia a whole lot other than in the newspaper articles. You know, the New Mexico Citizens Regulated Militia has competition with McKinley County Sheriff, whatever it was. I don't remember what it said. That was years ago. In that case, yeah, we wanted people to know. We were kind of on a recruiting drive / letting everybody know that we're legitimate and not dangerous and not, you know, skinheads and all that kind of stuff. And it worked out really, really well. We had a good, strong unit and got along well with we invited a sheriff and an undersheriff out to a meeting one time. Naturally, there's some things that you don't discuss when law enforcement's sitting in the room or in the park or wherever you're having it. But it doesn't mean to do anything illegal. We just don't want to discuss anything that may be give them any ideas that thinks that we, you know, give them any ideas of where we're going or what we do or anything like that. Because generally speaking, we don't ask them out to FTXs and stuff like that. So to 45, you get one warning, friend. You get one warning, and that is all. There's no language like that used in my chat room. And that was your warning right now. You just had it. So we appreciate it if you wouldn't use that anymore. Now, if you... Lost my train of thought here. Oh, I was talking about Facebook. If you want to use Facebook to just as a kind of a public information thing, yes, this is who we are. These are the kinds of things that we do. We're not anti-government. We're anti-corruption in government and da-da-da-da-da. And or if you're trying to recruit people, you know, this is a basic idea of what we do. And you state your statutory verification, justification for what you do and that kind of stuff. And that's all. And then put a contact email on there and let them contact you when they feel like they want more information about it. So there are a number of groups on there. Thank you, 45. I appreciate that. There's a number of groups on the internet that I think that their biggest FTX is probably that they all go over to somebody's house and get their laptops around in a circle and have an FTX on Facebook. And in that case, they are putting too much information out there that doesn't need to be out because they feel like they need to be they feel like they need to be, well, tough. You know, they want recognition. T-Dog, yes, I have, there are actually another New Mexico militia group coming up here, and I'll give you some information on that privately if you want. And I went and talked to Bob Wright in person about 2 weeks ago, spent a good long time with him at a little out-of-the-way meeting place, and he's doing fine. Everything's well and good with Bob Wright. So anyway, I don't have any problem with using Facebook if you use it for, you know, just for certain things. And it just remember that need to know, period. let's see. What's the next thing again? Okay, let's talk about secure communication. Now, this came up quite a bit. We had a long show about this here, what, a month ago, 6 weeks ago? We don't have a whole lot of means of good, secure communications, but we do have some. If you want email, there's not too many emails out there that are that secure. Hushmail is better. It was real good at one time, and then when Microsoft got it and it was based in the United States, we lost some of that, although it was pretty secure. However, there were still things left behind that could be obtained with a search warrant in an active criminal investigation. But I think some of that is changing right now, and I'm looking right now to verify that, but apparently they have moved back into Canada. And if that's the case, it may be more trustworthy than it was for a while. But still not anything I would want to talk about, you know, taking over the planet Mars with or anything. But Hushmail is pretty reasonably secure. The thing about Hushmail is that at least you have records of the messages on there as compared to some of the other ones here. You can delete them at your leisure when you think it's necessary, or keep them or put them in a password protected file or something like that. That's not too bad. There's another, and I talked about this the other day. It is Proton Mail, probably the best encrypted email out there. However, they are just getting absolutely overrun with requests to get on there. It's very difficult to get in. I've got my username and everything. I waited a year for it. And they say that they're going as fast as they can, getting more servers and bigger servers and all that stuff. If you put in your name in Proton Mail and get one, that is probably the best out there. Hushmail will only turn your stuff over if they have a warrant, just like anybody else based in the United States will do. Anything that's based outside of the United States, you've got a better chance of it. Canada or Proton Mail is based Sweden or Switzerland or somewhere like that. So anyway, the email thing you kind of take your chances with. But now there's, if you have, and I insist that at least my officers have smartphones. And reason being is because with that smartphone, we can have a program called Wicker. And I know some of you guys that are regular listeners are going to be kind of bored with this because we talked about it not too long ago, but it never hurts to go over it again. Wicker, W-I-C-K-R, no E in Wicker, is a great program. And there is nothing in between your phone and the other one that can be intercepted. There's nothing that exists, warrant or not, doesn't matter. There is nothing anywhere that exists that can be turned over to anybody. And that's true. SafeSlinger and Wicker are both equally secure. Now, they're everything about them is there is no back door. There is nothing that anybody can do. If the feds busted in the middle of the night, guns ablazing, and took over the whole place, it wouldn't matter because there's nothing there. There's just no way. If they don't get your phone and find your password, then it's there's nothing they can do. So Wicker is a very, and so is SafeSlinger. Wicker's not any better than SafeSlinger. The difference in the two, the one thing about Wicker that irritates me is that every message that goes out has a burn notice on it. If you have a good, strong password, and I can't stress enough, don't make your password Q-W-E-R-T-Y. You know, make your password good and strong, because that's where your security comes from if someone was to get a hold of your phone. But if the thing I don't like about it is they put there's information on there that you need. There'll be directions, phone numbers, something that you need. And then they'll put a 15-minute burn notice on it, which means now you can copy and paste from Wicker, which kind of defeats all the security about it. So if you put a little short burn notice on there and you say, okay, here's all these directions, I have to have them, it's going to disappear in 14 minutes and 12 seconds, then I have to copy that and paste it somewhere that may not be as secure. Why not leave it in the damn program that's secure? Why not have you? I've got a hell of a good, strong password. And as long as it's in that program, it's safe, because there's nothing in between your phone and mine that can be caught. If you want to delete it from your phone, go ahead. That's okay. That doesn't affect mine. If I can delete and allow me to have the my own judgment as to when I need to delete my own. So I don't like that burn notice unless there's something on there that is absolutely critical that has to go away quickly. A lot of the stuff that Wicker is being used for is not nearly as critical as people think it is. And, when they put this little short burn notice on there, and so that means I have to copy it or write it down somewhere, which completely defeats the whole purpose of having Wicker to start with. Why didn't you just send it to me on the email? Because that's, you're going to have to put it somewhere on your computer, even if it's a password-protected file. It's not password-protected for the guys that really know about hacking and stuff, the good hackers. So copying and pasting is nothing. It's no problem at all in Wicker to tinker. All you do is put your finger on the message, hold it down, a little deal comes up there, and you just click copy. And you can go paste it anywhere you want to, in a text message or an email or whatever. And sometimes you have to do that when people put little bitty short burn notices on there. You know, I'm smart enough to delete the file when I'm done with it. I don't need to have, little short burn notices on there. I'll take care of it. I mean, you trust me with the message to start with, so trust me with having the damn good judgment to get rid of it myself when I don't need it anymore. So with SafeSlinger, You don't have the burn notice option, I don't think. I've never found it anyway. But there, I will delete the message when I'm done with it. I'm not going to leave it on there if it's anything that doesn't need to be on there. Now the 10 minutes. I'm going to tell you and Kit right now. 10 minutes is not enough time unless it is something that is so crucial and so absolutely sensitive that you just cannot possibly risk it. If we're taking over the planet Mars, then yeah, I guess you need that. But what happens in 10 minutes if, I open this up, I click on it, and then all of a sudden I almost get in a car wreck, or somebody calls and it's important. You know, my boss catches me and I can't finish doing it. 10 minutes, it's all gone. It's on the phone. It's protected by a good password. Now, when we talk about protecting it with your password, there's another thing that you need to do. Look at your where you put the password in. It gives you the option of not having to sign in every time. That's stupid. There's no reason to have Wicker at all if that's what you're going to do.
You need to have that where it goes, where you have to sign in every, 15 minutes or every hour, every 2 hours, but not every 12 or 24 hours or permanently, because that way, if someone does get a hold of your phone while you're still signed in, then they're in. They can see everything and communicate with other, and you're going to think I'm communicating with you because I put my password in there as not having to sign in. That's ridiculous. Let me see what's going on. If you copy, isn't it saved in the copy cache? No, it's a wrong term. Yakima Glock, it probably is. So that's my whole point. Just leave a good, decently long burn notice in there. And then if I need to do something with it, it's still protected. It's still safe as long as it's in wicker. So I would encourage you, if you're sending something out that's important in directions. And another thing is, you can put 1,500 characters in one message in wicker. So what's the point of sending 500 messages out with little short sentences in there? It takes a lot of time. You've got a whole lot of stuff. It's hard to put together. It's hard to keep track and sort it out. Just say what you got to say in the damn message and let it go at that. 1,500 characters, you can say quite a bit. And then if you need to use another 1,500 in the next message, then use it. But with SafeSlinger, you don't have the burn notice. I'll delete it at my leisure. Thank you. I'm a grown boy. I know when to delete it. The thing that is better about SafeSlinger is if you want to send a voice text, a voice message, a voice text. How'd you like that? If you want to send a voice message, then it's only 30 seconds with Wicker. You can't, if we're trying to give directions, we've got a salute report to give or something, you can't really do it a good thing in 30 seconds. And you got the same type of burn notice on it, whatever you decide to put on there. With SafeSlinger, you have 11 minutes of voice. So I like that a whole lot better. Now, the other thing about Wicker is that if you want to add someone to your list of contacts, you're at the mercy of someone else saying, oh yeah, this is my buddy, it's okay to add him, and you don't know who it is. With SafeSlinger, in order to add someone, it's a little bit of a pain in the neck, but I think it's a lot more secure. You have to either be sitting in the room with that person, or you have to be on the phone with them at the time. And you have a little security code that you have to go over and stuff. And the only way to do it is in person or be on the phone with them. So you have that voice recognition of whoever's on there. And I think it's a little bit more secure. So Wicker is a little bit easier to use, and I don't question its security at all. It's some of the features that it has that I don't like. I like SafeSlinger better. SafeSlinger is just as easy to use, once you get the initial contacts added. After that, it's just as easy as either one of them is easy as the other one. So, Cowboy, yeah, I would like to have contact with you guys there, so we'll take care of that in the next little while, week or so, or a few days or whatever. So those two things there are absolutely secure. And that's another thing with B2 Basic says, yeah, it's easy. If you look at Wicker over on the left-hand side, you click on that little, I think there's a little watch face there or something. Let me look here. You go to send a message. And yeah, over on the left-hand side is a little icon there. You click on that and it gives you opportunity to send a picture or take a picture, send an image, do a voice text, they call it, and your burn notice. There's four icons come up there, and that's what it gives you the options there. Now, another one, we talked about this the other night, is Silent Circle. Silent Circle, I don't use silent text much. I trust it implicitly, but there's really no need. If you have Wicker or SafeSlinger, I have it because that's what some people insist on using, so I have everything so that people around the country can get a hold of me if they need to. Cowboy, you know, face-to-face is fine, but sometimes it's difficult if you leave 400 or 500 miles away and don't see each other, but, you know, once a year, that's a good thing. But sometimes it's just not feasible, may not even be possible. So that way we've got other options. Now, with Silent Circle, you also have a program called Silent Phone. You have Silent Phone and Silent Text. That's the biggest reason that I have Silent Circle is because we have the means to make a secure phone call. People give Black Phone all the big praises. Black Phone and Silent Circle, Silent Phone, are, as far as security-wise, are the same thing. As far as their encryption and stuff. Black Phone, I believe, well, no, that wouldn't work either. Never mind. So, Yakima Glock, yeah, face-to-face is the way to go, but sometimes, yeah, you know, it's just not a face that you want to see. Hey, there's old Gunner just popped into the chat room. Wait, glad you made it in here, buddy. Long time no see, man. We've talked about you several times, wondered where you were at, couldn't get a hold of you. Glad you come in to visit us for a little while. But Silent Phone is great. Now, the thing is, when you get that kind of security and that kind of convenience, it's not free. I don't trust Red Phone completely. I think it's pretty good. I don't think it's very good. Silent Phone is very good. But it costs $9.95 a month. So, but that's okay. I'm willing to pay $10 a month for that kind of security in this day and age when I feel like I really need that security. A few years ago, I didn't feel like I needed quite as much as I do nowadays. Anyway. The B2 Basic, I'm not sure I know what you mean when it works in Rome. I'm not going to Rome anytime soon, or Italy, period, as far as that goes. But, no, I know what you're talking about there, but I'm not sure what you mean by that. But, yeah, Red Phone, I think it's pretty... Red Phone's kind of like Hushmail. I trust it with some things, but when it's real sensitive, I wouldn't use it. So, consequently, I don't even have Red Phone. I don't want it, and I'm not going to get it. But Silent Phone, I do. That's Silent Phone and Black Phone, I think, are the best ways to go for as far as telephone communications. Now, what can you do about radio communications? Absolutely nothing. Zero. You have no security when it comes to radio. Is it possible? Sure it is. If you've got $80 bazillion to put into certain types of equipment and the other people have the same kind of equipment, yeah, you could. And, you know, the tyrant has those kind of things. We don't. The average person is not going to get anything on radio that has any degree of security at all. You can get it to make it security from the other campers down the road here a little ways, and other civilians. You can make it a little bit more difficult for them, but there is nothing there to keep Uncle Fudd out of your radio communications. The only thing you can do, one and only, you have one option as the average civilian, and that is to use a good strong code. It's easier, faster, as long as we have, satellites are up and, EMP hadn't taken everything out, and as long as you have, a way to text, then, that's the most secure thing that we have right now. So, let's also look at, when I said on that Facebook post, I said, I only give this to certain trusted members. Okay? If we're going out somewhere and we have new members that haven't been vetted, haven't been with us very long, I may not give them the directions to get out there. They'll follow somebody else. so that they don't have the opportunity to give it to somebody I don't want to have it. We're going to the same place. You just fall in behind me. Now, that doesn't mean, I understand, these are the difference. This is the difference between, or one of the differences between military and civilian. I understand that they can get on their phone, unless you want to take their phone from them for the trip. And that's not beyond the realm of possibility there. If we're going someplace and I think it's sensitive, then new guys give up their phones. Until we get there, and then if I think they need them back, they can have them. But what is this coming up here? Okay, so you've got to, you know, trust is a big deal here. You know, I've got quite a few people on my Wicker deal, but I know each and every one of them. I've talked to them face to face. And I don't have anybody on there that I don't know personally and haven't known and trusted for a while. And even if I did, it wouldn't make any difference. It just means I don't add them to... Now, here's another thing. Let me back up a little bit about multiple recipients party talking. With Wicker, it's simply a matter of putting the name in the message there, and everybody's got it. I don't like that. SafeSlinger is a whole lot more difficult. When you set up SafeSlinger, you've got to go in there and you say, okay, you start the process out, and you get to a place where it says the number of users. So if I want to hook up with you, I put two users. We can't add anybody to it. If we want to add anybody to it, then we have to go back. We all three of us have to be on a phone, or we have to be in the same room, and we create a group, and we go back and we'll click three users or five users or 10 users. And that group is the only one that can use that, and you do not have the option of adding anybody in there. And you know everybody that's there because we've talked to them, you know, person to person there when we added them to start with. excuse me. Long slide. Have I thought about a group leadership course? I don't know what do you mean by a group leadership course? If you're talking about a leadership development course for the militia, yeah, we already have one. We've been there, done that. We've put a few people through it, and we've had two pass it. It's not an easy course, but. I don't know if that's what you're talking about or not, but anyway. Let's see. What's the next deal here? Boy, we've just been blabbing away and went right through the break and everything else, so whatever. We'll just keep talking until this is done, because I think it's important. Let's see. Okay, let's go back and look at... Intel kit, if you're talking about SafeSlinger, I don't know what you're calling safe internet, or solid internet, I mean. I can do it with the data on my phone wherever I'm at. If I'm out in the middle of the woods somewhere and have no Wi-Fi, I can still get SafeSlinger just fine. It works. You know, Wicker and SafeSlinger both work through Wi-Fi if you have it. That's great, and I like that. But it works just fine on my data too. So, Intel kit, we'll have to think about that. I'm going to be there for over a week, so we'll have some time to put some stuff together if we want to. Let's talk about just regular. Texting. Maybe even with Wicker and SafeSlinger. Because let's say that I am driving through the desert somewhere and I have no cell reception, and you send a Wicker message or just a regular text message, and I drive along there and 3 hours, 4 hours later, I receive your message. I have no flipping idea when you sent it. So it doesn't matter what it says on my phone. It's going to say what time my phone received it. If it didn't receive it till 4 hours after you sent it, I have no idea what time you sent it. So I insist that everybody in our group, and that it goes for me and Amy too, when we're out somewhere where the service is spotty and somebody says, okay, well, she's on her way. What does that mean to me? Nothing. Means absolutely nothing if I don't know what time she sent the message. I don't know when to send the search parties out if I don't know that she sent the message 5 hours ago and it's only 3 hours from here to where she was at. So in front of every message that we send, usually not just our everyday, day-to-day stuff when we're in good... that's a good deal, cowboy. Thank you. Not just our everyday, ordinary stuff, you know, when we're in town running around, because the texting is very very solid, you know, very dependable. But if we're going to go somewhere, you know, run to Phoenix or Flagstaff or we're out in the woods somewhere or something, then we put the time in military time, in a 24-hour clock, first thing we put is not AM and PM, not regular time. It takes extra time and extra characters to do that. So you just put the military time. Military time, 24-hour clock, is four characters no matter what time it is. There is no colon. There is no dots. There is no dashes. You just put when it's 3:27 in the afternoon, 3:27 PM, you just put 15:27. And then go ahead and put your message in there. So I know what time you sent the message, even if I don't get it until tomorrow. Actually, if I didn't get it till tomorrow, then I wouldn't know whether you did. It would have to be more than 24 hours later, and that's highly unlikely. But if that was a possibility, then we would want to put a date on it also. But that way, let's see. Let me look here and see what all is going on in the chat room here. I've been blabbing here and not paying any attention. So let me check it out here. I've missed my break when I usually catch up on this stuff. Let's see. All right. The Tinker, I don't know. I'm not sure what you have the M on there for. Unless that's for Monday. I'm not sure why you have the M. But we just put the 15:27 with nothing in front of it. Okay, for Monday, I see. All right, yeah, that could be something, as long as you remember that Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday have additional characters that you'll need to put on there. And but usually it's most unlikely that we're going to go more than 24 hours without receiving a message. But let's see here. Put the time. Oh, here's another thing. Irks the hell out of me. And that is not responding to messages that you get. Every single text that I receive from someone, if I don't do anything else, I'll send them back a K. Okay. All right. Okie doke. Something so that they know that I received it. I expect the same courtesy. If I don't know if you I sent her a text. Well, what if she didn't get it? What if she's already had a wreck? What if she's already been kidnapped? What if she's already dead? I need a response to a text. If you don't get it, then you're either in a no service area or something. But I sent a text to a guy 3 days ago about a meeting that we're having up here soon, and I never heard back from him. I texted him today, and I said, did you get the last message I sent you? And he said, yeah. Let me know, for crying out loud. Well, just a simple response. You don't have to respond to, respond to your responses. If you sent something out and you say, okay, then I don't need to say back and say, okay, I got your okay. Okay, I'm glad you got my okay. Okay, I'm glad I got your okay that you got my okay. You know, so you got to stop somewhere. But if somebody asks you something, about, you know, are you on your way now? Or when did you leave? Or, you know, what time did you see that truck? And I never, well, if you had, that would be a direct question. If I ask what time you saw something, obviously you would come back with a response to that. But if I say, okay, there's a meeting Monday morning at 11 o'clock at Dairy Queen, and I don't ever hear from you, and I go down there to this meeting and I say, well, you should be here any time. I texted him a week ago. But if I don't ever hear back from you, I don't know if you're going to make it or not. We're not going to make any plans around you if we don't know if you're coming or not. Does that make sense to everybody? So have the courtesy to respond back, if even if it's just nothing but a K. KK, okay, whatever you want to put on there. It doesn't take a whole lot of time, and it could save you definitely a whole lot of time. Okay, let's see here. Sue, what's Sue saying here? I grew up around hackers who then they discussed their first time. It isn't what you think. by the way, you know, one thing that I like about Wickr over SafeSlinger is you can actually put Wickr on your laptop or on your computer, not just your phone. SafeSlinger doesn't have that capability yet. So Wickr is, although I have put it on my laptop, it hasn't seemed to work very well. But it works exceedingly well on my phone, as does SafeSlinger. Okay, I think that's pretty much everything that I wanted to get in there. And how about that? We're just about out of time. So, OPSEC analysis. Intel Kit, I don't know if I am qualified to offer that kind of information. I don't know if I'm smart enough to do that. But if you want to do it for us real quick, if you know about that kind of stuff, I don't know what OPSEC analysis is. So if you want to do it, I will open up the phone lines and let you call in and tell us. So let me know real quick. If not, well, I'm going to say hasta lumbago and get on out of here. So send me a sign, and I will open up the phone lines and put the number in there for you. Let's see. All right. Long slide saying do it. Kit. Or not. And we're waiting. Well, Tampico Scout, why is that? Intel Kit gets mad when he texts back with okay. I don't understand why. If the response doesn't require anything other than okay, then okay should be okay. I don't know why okay wouldn't be okay. It's okay with me, as long as okay is all that's required. No. Kit, it's up to you. If you want to take the time to type it, you can. If you want to call in, then we can do that too. I don't mind going over a little bit. That's okay. And of course, if you want to type it, then maybe I can save it either way as far as that goes. Matter of fact, it's going out, it's going to be on podcast, so if you want the whole world to know, then what your all these other militia groups and everything to know, all the people that download the podcast and everything and are streaming it, well, might not be a bad thing. Remember, if you do it in the chat room, we have a very limited number of people that are going to see it. So if we'd like to get that information out to the Patriot community, then it might be better off if you call, if you'd like to. So give me a sign. Let me know what you want to do here. And B2 Basic is waiting, and we're waiting. And we're still waiting. You know, I got to check my settings here on the phone and make sure that everything is correct here. We may have a little bit of problem. I still think Kid ought to call it in. so that everybody else... Kit, give me just a second, and I'll give you the number. Let me check my settings and make sure... Okay, it looks like everything's working. All right, here you go. All right, there's the number. And for all you prank callers, don't bother because the number's null and void if I don't turn it on for the show, so don't worry about that. And we'll wait for Kit here just a minute. Hopefully this thing will work right. There she is, by golly. Come on. Now if we can just get... All right, is it working?
It is working.
Hey, the wonders of modern technology. Kit, how you doing, sweetheart?
I'm good, sir.
Well, enlighten us with your wisdom. I know that this is one of your fortes here, of your several fortes, really. And that is intelligence and security. And from what I've seen, you're pretty cotton picking sharp at it. So I think you're well qualified to give us this analysis.
Well, this is really going to be about a three-minute thing that could be a two-hour class. But the very, very, very short version is that when you do an OPSEC analysis, what you're doing is you're looking at your group. You are literally going down through each person. You're going to make a list of all critical information that your group is protecting, whether that be the location of your fob, whether it be where your supply caches are, who runs what rifle, where your safe houses are, where your routes are, anything like that. You're going to actually make a list. And obviously, okay, maybe not obviously, maybe that's why we have to say these things, you don't put it on a computer. You write this down. And the only reason that you're writing it down is so that you can affix in your head what it is that you're protecting. Because if you don't know what you're protecting, you're not going to protect it very well.
Right.
So once you've done that, then you're going to start compartmentalizing out, okay, who actually needs to know, and going back to what you're talking about, need to know, who needs to know each piece of information? So then you're going to parse that out. Not everybody needs to know where all the supply caches are, for obvious reasons.
Right.
Not everybody needs to know all the routes, all the safe houses, all the everything. So once you've parsed that out, then you start looking through what are the vulnerabilities, who are the people who are going to be the leak, who are the weak people, who are the ones who like to go on Facebook and run their mouth about anti-government whatever. Because it seems like every group's got that one guy who likes to talk about a lot of stuff that maybe not everybody's really into. And it makes you look bad as a group.
Right.
That guy is a threat. He's a liability. And so you need to start compartmentalizing those people out. And you need to look at it as though you're a threat. If I'm going to infiltrate this group, if I want to get the information from this group, who would I go to? How would I go about it? And so that's what you're doing. When you're doing an OPSEC analysis, you're just going through what is it that we need to keep secret, who needs to know it, what people do we need to be watching out for, and compartmentalizing out, and possibly even isolating and taking a very hard look at, okay, if they can't be trusted or if they're engaging in conduct that we know is detrimental to the group, why are they here? And lastly, you're going to go through and... Man, I just totally had a complete and utter brain blank. Good Lord. But when you go through all your stuff and you parse all of that out, the last thing you're going to do is put it all together and figure out what the countermeasures are for that. In order for me to ensure, for instance, that the safe houses do not get found out, I'm going to compartmentalize them and give them to several different people who are never going to talk about that amongst themselves. And then I'm going to also give them each countermeasure so that, hey, if you find yourself in a specific position, you're going to give out this information instead. Or if you have to go to a safe house and then you are followed or what have you, go to this other location instead. And just different things like that. And you're familiar with countermeasures. We all use them.
Yep.
So, again, very, very, very short, very basic.
But it makes a lot of sense, though. That's
but a lot of groups don't do it. They prefer to, you know, everybody's cool, as long as you say you're a patriot, you're good to go.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not the case at all.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to be worried about then, not the least of which is the fact that the feds have infiltrated, you know, many groups. That I don't say all of them, but like some people do. But, you know, if they want to, they will. But there's the haters. There's the SPLC guys and some people that want to just cause trouble. They may have a personal problem with somebody in the group and want to cause problems. I mean, there's just... any number of reasons. That's why everything we do is on a need-to-know basis. Everybody doesn't need to go know where we're going for an FTX. You can follow us. That's where we're going. When we get there, you'll know. Or whatever. I'm just using that as an example. But everything's on a need-to-know.
Absolutely.
All
and
right.
I think, too, just as a quick side note before you go, a lot of people, they get attached to people within their group, their buddies, their friends, they barbecue, they hang out, they play with each other's kids, whatever, and so they get lax with the officer.
Right.
And before you know it, this person's talking about stuff on Facebook that you told them, and you don't want to call the guy out because he's your buddy.
Good point.
But
absolutely.
The bottom line is, If 9 out of 10 people in a group are practicing perfect OPSEC, you're still screwed.
Yep. Still got that one problem there. So, and somebody just asked about, who was it? Someone, Peanut Rider, asked about, is there a way to encrypt Skype? Skype is more secure than your regular email stuff, but it's still not secure. Not since Microsoft bought it. If you want to be secure in Skype, you need to use code. You could use something like one-time notepad in Skype, and it would be quite secure. One-time notepad is to be used as, like the name implies, one time and one time only. And that way it literally impossible to figure it out in one message. But other than that, Skype is not secure enough for anything that's very sensitive. Yeah, it's okay for some things, but it's a whole lot better than standard email, but that's about it. So, anyway, Kit, you got anything else for us? Any more nuggets of... What about your radio show coming up here?
Oh, I am very, very excited to have you on as my first guest, by the way.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
The Society is my blog, of course, and it's getting its own radio show. Theoretically, it's supposed to start next week on Thursdays from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific. And Cope is going to come on and talk about what a militia is, what it comes from. There's a lot of misconception about what a constitutional militia is, what organized, unorganized, all that fun stuff. And we're going to talk about how, what a militia is, what it's for, and how to set one up and run it.
Boy, we're going to have to hurry. That's going to be a lot of stuff to crowd into an hour. But I'll do my best.
I'm from Wisconsin. I can talk fast. Can you talk fast?
I talk faster than people understand it. That's the problem. They'll have to play the archive and slow it down so they can hear it. All righty.
Well, thank you for letting me come on and blab for a moment.
Say again?
I said thank you for letting me come on and blab for a moment.
Oh, thanks for doing it. We appreciate it. Appreciate your knowledge and your expertise in this. We'll have to do this again sometime and get a little more in depth in some of this stuff, but I just had to throw my 2 cents worth out there for whatever it was worth to anybody. So, all righty.
Welcome to the show, Cope. Have a good night.
Good night, Kit. Thank you. Bye bye. All right. Let's see. All right. Come on. All right. It's off there. Okay. There you go. Yakima Glock, I'll say this one time, you need to sanitize your social media. Absolutely. Don't put pictures of your kids on there. Now you can probably get away with that if you make sure and change your security settings to your friends only that you know, and then don't take every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes down the pike as your friend. I do. I don't care who they are. Well, I do. I'll go look at their page, and if I see that they're liberals, of course they don't have a prayer. But, I don't put certain pictures and things on there for everybody to see. I use it more for marketing than anything else to advertise my classes and stuff like that. And that's all I use it for. I don't use it as a quote-unquote social media. I don't do a whole – most everything I put on there is news and news-related stuff, liberty, freedom, constitutional, militia, you know, whatever, or classes. So – and I talked about one-time notepad a while ago. Let me tell you real quick what that is. It's impossible to explain it very well without showing it to you. But it is a series of letters that create one letter. And I'm not saying anything. This came out of the military. I'm not saying anything they don't already know. It's generated by a program that should be destroyed after it's generated. And you have a list of them. You have two words. It's kind of like your challenge and password, you know, when you're on guard duty. You send this word, say, I'm sending you a message. Let's say the two words are Oscar and Meyer. So I'm sending you a message, Oscar. And you send back and say, copy, Meyer, or received, Meyer, or whatever. And then I'll send you out of that particular group, which has Oscar and Meyer as the... the code words there, I'll send the message back out of that. Now, every letter in your message has four letters to it, four random letters. It could be PQST to mean the letter A. So you want to keep your messages short, to the point, and because you're putting four letters for every letter on your message. So if you have a word that has seven letters in it, you're going to have 28 characters up there to make that word. You don't want to use very few, if any. You want to try to never use, if at all possible, any one-letter words, like A, I, even two-letter words. It, is, if. They will figure out very quickly that those four particular letters stand for the letter I. Once they do that, they're going to be on their way to crack it. So keep your messages short, to the point, and ordinarily, you don't want to use any punctuation. Let them figure that out after they... Now, that should be easy for most of you guys, because I see all these text messages and stuff. Seems like punctuation has become a thing of the past, and you send a letter and a message, and I have no freaking idea what you're saying because you forget what commas are about. I shouldn't say most of you, because I tell you, the most eloquent and articulate writer out there, you have to go to Kit's blog and check it out. She understands the use of punctuation and contractions and apostrophes and stuff like that. She does a good job at that. But a lot of us, and I do the same thing, I get lax, especially texting, and instead of writing your Y-O-U-R, if I'm in a hurry, I put Y-E-R. Anyway, so on one-time notepad, you'll send that one series of messages with that one code, and then it is destroyed, never to be used again. And you have a series of these. They are to be kept under lock and key, and not on a, you know, you could actually put it on a flash drive and go somewhere and print out one that you need and keep that flash drive secured. And when you need to send another message, you know, tomorrow or next week or something, then we'll start all over again, a whole new deal, a whole new set of letters. So if you use that in conjunction with Skype, you're okay. You could do whatever you want to do on there. It is unnecessary to use that with Wicker or SafeSlinger, but you could use that in hush mail or even in regular email. As far as that goes, it doesn't make any difference. So you just got a tiny bit of added security with Skype and hush mail. They have to get past, have to get the warrant and have an active investigation and all that to get to the point where they even get the message, and then they've got to try to break the code. So anyway, that's how all that works. All right, well, we're 15 minutes over time, and that's okay, because I think this was important stuff, and we appreciate Kit chiming in there with her 2 cents worth on that. And Dan Pico Scout says, I don't use that extra stuff. And let me expound on that just a little bit more before I give up here. Sometimes, actually quite a few times, the entire meaning of the message is changed by not adding punctuation or adding punctuation in the wrong place. And if you're leaving that message up for interpretation, then you are responsible for any consequences if they don't interpret it right. If you're trying to send meeting places, somebody said a certain thing in a certain way, you've got to send a code word, this is how it needs to be said, da-da-da-da-da, anything like that, and it doesn't come out. Sue, yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. But so Tampico Scout, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here, if it makes sense to you. If you send these messages, now you probably, not you in particular, but anybody, if you're used to texting without all that extra stuff and you don't capitalize things, you don't use periods and commas, and I have to try to guess through and figure out what it is, somebody's life may be at stake. Your family security may be at stake because you are too lazy to put the stuff in the sentence correctly. Now, and if that's the case in a message that you send with one-time notepad, you might want to risk a period or a comma if you deem it necessary to get the gist of the message. If not, then you don't put anything in there. But in regular text or, you know, Wicker and Safe Slinger, if we don't have any punctuation and the whole meaning of the message is changed, we may not meet up on time. We may not go to the right place. We might send the wrong person. We might do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, bring the wrong equipment, whatever the case may be. So punctuation is not just me being a grammar Nazi. It is a matter of operational security. If you're not sending things, we've all learned how to use basic punctuation. We may not always get our semicolons read exactly right and all of that, but most everybody has a pretty good idea of how commas and periods should be used. And I think that it is critical, especially in secure messages. And if you don't do it in your everyday messaging, you're probably going to screw up accidentally and not do it in a secure message. And it could be your fault that something happens if something were to. So just some food for thought there. And you can see, Sue, boy, you don't know how right you are. Texting has absolutely trashed the English language. You see people, my nephew's a school teacher, and he has kids turn in stuff, high school kids turn in stuff that using the same type of language that they do when they're texting. There, that's a good way to put that, Detinker, right there. Two little marks put in the right place changes the whole meaning. That's right. So, little food for thought. I'm going to quit rambling here and not too late. I'm glad you stayed with us for the whole show, and that's exactly my point. Thank you very much. Let's cook, Grandma, or let's cook, Grandma. Yep. One comma made all the difference whether Grandma lives or dies. So, I rest my case. We'll see y'all tomorrow, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.